I was thinking about that when Terry was sharing about how growth is a choice. It really is. It's available, and God helps us to grow. Well, this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us a list of loving behaviors that are to be applied by verse 11. And I'm going to repeat verse 11 because that's the key way that we apply this love chapter. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. I keep on saying it in the King James way, but that's how I memorized it when I was a kid. Placing childish or replacing childish ways with childlikeness. That's what leads to spiritual maturity. And this list, it describes the God of love. It's describing the God of love, who already indwells the Christian heart. He's already inside. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. So loving behaviors, they come from the Trinity living within us, God living within inside of us. And but we must grow. We must put them into practice. Those behaviors are the way God lives in His heart. And so I saw something about us being His children. I think it was in one of the songs. This childlikeness is so important because we must become like the Trinity. The Trinity has been loving. It is love, but has been loving. These three wonderful persons, our God, has been loving throughout eternity, loving together. That's what you have in the Trinity. No other, as far as I know, there's no other kind of conception of God that shows you love as eternal, but the Trinity. So the Trinity lives inside us, but to practice the loving behaviors of God, we have to have a childlike receptivity to the Holy Spirit, who has shed love abroad in our hearts. Now, if our past inner child, the habits we grew up with, or the things we immature habits that haven't been changed or haven't grown up, if they're being manifested in the adult life, then we need inner healing. We need inner healing to help us put away childish things or put childish ways behind and to grow in love. Healing happens in the presence of love. You have to think about that. Christ's presence, the Father's presence, the Holy Spirit's presence, that's where healing takes place. It's not a thing. It's the manifestation of a person. It's love manifested. Healing happens in the presence of love, and so practicing God's presence replaces the presence of immaturity and the past immaturity that we may have developed and taken with us into our lives. With that in mind, we're going to look at descriptions of love, not just this week, but every time I preach for the next couple of weeks. And this is verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. So first we're going to look at patient. Love is patient. It means it also can be translated able to wait, able to endure. But literally, it means long-spirited. It means long-tempered, not short-tempered, long-tempered. And that's the literal meaning of the word. But in Wiki, I always say Wiki, the Wikipedia. There's so many Wiki things out there. Not wicked, Wiki. Everybody uses it now because basically they take other places and they pick the best thing and then they put it out there. It's like an encyclopedia online. Here's my adaptation of Wiki's thing. Patience is the ability to endure difficult circumstances, to persevere in the face of delay, to tolerate provocation without annoyance or anger, and to remain steadfast under the stress and strain of long-term difficulties. Whoa! What a description. So, what a great virtue this is. Well, why might children not learn this virtue, might not have it as they grow up. Well, perhaps parents tried to shield them from difficulties, delays. I want it now. Okay. You know, and from distresses, and tried to protect them from that, and shield them from experiencing the hardships of life sometimes. Or, in the other way, maybe there was anger at having to endure those things, and it got stuck down deep in the heart. That's what might happen to the inner child. Well, as an adult, a pampered inner child may pout. I don't deserve to have to wait and endure this, you know. Or a frustrated inner child may explode. Somebody's in for it. I'm done putting up with this kind of stuff. Have we heard these kind of things? Yes, we have. We sure have. And God is love. Love is in control of distresses, delays, strains, stressors in our life. We can choose the old childish responses, or we can choose a childlike receptivity of our new disposition of love that's now residing within us in our hearts. We're not to discard the old inner child, you know. Our inner child, and some people do, by repression. They just repress it. Well, if it's repressed, it'll come back up again. So that's not how we do it. But we need to help that inner child to be healed and to grow up and to find that maturity. And that maturity is in divine love. That's where the maturity lies, in divine love. So practicing God's presence, the presence of love, replaces the presence of past immaturity. Well, the next one here is kind. Love is kind. Now, that can be translated good, benevolent, but literally it means useful. That's what it means, useful. It comes from the word use. And that's like blessing or helping other people. Aristotle had a definition of kindness. He said this: it's helpfulness towards someone in need, not in return for anything, nor for the advantage of the helper himself, but for that of the person helped. Well, that's like a Christian description. It is, in a sense. But Aristotle said it. Unkind adult behavior may be an inner child's from an inner child's upbringing, how they were raised, where perhaps parental kindness was not being manifested in the home. It wasn't exemplified. Or it could be where benefits were bestowed only on arbitrary conditions. You know, not because of, like Aristotle described, helping someone because that's really a good thing to do without getting any benefit from it. And it was just, I have some conditions and you meet them and then I'll give you this. Well, listen to God. God's love is kind. In Titus 3, listen to this passage, Titus 3, 3 through 5. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Rebirth and renewal. New birth. New birth doesn't banish our past. It doesn't banish our past. It renews our inner child by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Making the love active. Bringing it into action. We replace unkind habits with kindness and love of God who's inside of us. And when old patterns tempt us, we can sing that little song. I don't know if you learned this song, but I did when I was a kid. It's from Ephesians 4:32. And if Rosemary was here, she'd hear me, and I'm probably not singing it right. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. That's how to remember the verses. Anyway, that's a great little song. Be kind to one another, just as God has been kind to us. That's what Titus in chapter 3 is talking about. Well, the next one is envious. Not envious, in other words. Not envious, which means not covetous or not jealous, but literally means not hot. And the hot is the word, actual word, zeal. It means a burning, zealous, active mind that's burning for a desire. So burning desires are part of our humanity. God put them within us, but they're to be godly and good. They can be godly and good, but we'll get burned by longing for what doesn't belong to us. You know, one psychological article that was in one of these psychological magazines talked about envy, and it says envy occurs when a person lacks another's superior quality, achievement, or possession, and either desires it or wishes that the other lacked it. You know, so that sort of mixes the two, envy and jealousy. But envy is infant humanity's original sin. You think about it. Envy is this original sin, and it's gotten worse as the world has aged. Childish discontent ignites an adult zeal that burns for what others have. That's where this idea of hot. I'm just burning to have that. You know, it's just like a thing inside that wants to have it. But that burning and that desire, it only fuels the fire of never having enough. It doesn't matter what you get, you burn for. You'll always want more, just like a fire. It's not satisfied until it's burned the whole forest down, you know. And then it goes out. Well, love quenches envy's flame with the peace of godly contentment. And there's a great scripture in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why is that so? Why is that so? Well, to an envious soul, a soul that has a lot of envy, seeking itself in things outside itself, it's seeking its things in things out there. I want that so I can have my real self. That's not it. Jesus asked the question, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The great gain that is involved, the great gain is finding ourselves in love's contentment. We're going to learn more about that as we go through these things in other verses, but love's contentment. Oh my goodness. We can't be envious while we are content. It's just the two are opposite. Love is content. And next, love is not boastful. And you know some boasting. It's a vain display. It's a showing off. And it literally comes from the word braggart. A braggart, a person who is bragging all the time. Well, in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. Those are all negatives. And why all these negatives? Well, these negatives, they're not attractive, and everybody knows about them. You don't like to be around a person that has these negatives. You just try to avoid those kids. Oh, they're all the time talking about themselves, all the time bragging on themselves, or they're all the time doing these other things, envying other people, or they're proud or what. And you don't like to be around these negatives. Well, these negatives, while they're unattractive, can be diagnostic. They can help us to figure out what's going on here. A vain display of positives is trying to cover up negatives, deficits, and it won't work. But it can reveal something. It can reveal the insecure inner child that's become a boasting adult. And showing off ability, knowledge, status, what we've done, who we know. It's a cry for recognition. It's a cry for acceptance. But the real need there is self-acceptance. It's self-acceptance. And that comes by love's acceptance. When we are loved by God and He's accepted us, we can finally accept ourselves. We don't need to have all this other stuff or say, I have this to see who we are. No, we have ourselves in God's acceptance. By His grace, Jesus Christ, in Ephesians 1:6, He says, has made us accepted in the Beloved. We have been accepted in Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. We are accepted. Every single person in this room is accepted. If they've asked Jesus into their heart, they're already accepted. When God's acceptance cancels our insecurity, we become concerned about others instead of about ourselves. We start looking outward, and because that's what love does. Love is concerned about the others, you know? And that's what it says in Philippians, the mind of Christ. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also on the interests of others. Your attitude, in some translations, your mind. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How do we get that? We've already got it. The mind of Christ dwells within us, and it's a mind of love. All we have to do is to practice His presence. Instead of practicing the deficits, practicing the negatives, practicing all the things that we've inherited from our inner child's upbringing for whatever reason, wounding, maybe overindulgence, whatever it is, we need to practice not that presence, but to practice the presence of the healing Savior. Lastly, not proud. Now this word proud, not arrogant. Not conceited, not haughty, but literally what it means is overgrown, inflated, puffed up bigger. And then that's one of the words that's translated up, puffed up, you know. Pride explains the fall of the human condition. The fallen human condition that we're in right now is explained by pride. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And boy, did we fall. The humanity fell at the very beginning. Stolen fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil killed us spiritually, making us morally independent, able to decide what's right and wrong, what's good and evil on our own. Don't need what God has to say. But we were meant, as human beings, we were meant to feed on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But from childhood to old age, we keep eating that autonomous fruit of the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. And unless childlikeness can say, teach me. That's what childlikeness says. Teach me. I want you to teach me. I want to be receptive. Unless we do that, then we're going to be doing the childish thing. The childish will say, I know better than you do. I know better than you. You don't know what I know. And then there's adults that end up doing that. I know better than you do. An adult pride of knowledge rocks this world with clashing claims of what's correct or incorrect. And we know that. We hear it every day. We read it in the newspapers. We hear it on the radio, here in news broadcasts. But to resolve the moral chaos from Eden's forbidden fruit, to resolve that chaos, we must reconnect with love. In 1 Corinthians 8 it says, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. That's that word. That's exactly the same word that's in this passage in 1 Corinthians. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. Oh boy, if we would live under that, if we would take this scripture, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the first few verses of chapter 8, if we would just take this scripture and live by it, it would produce humility. It would produce this, teach me. I'm willing to learn new things. No, I know it all. You know, let me tell you. You know, no. Humans are never perfectly right, but they're always profoundly wrong without love. Without love, they are profoundly wrong. Practicing God's presence is practicing the presence of love. And love's behaviors, when put into practice by childlike receptivity to the Holy Spirit, replace the presence and the practice of past immaturity. I'm going to read that again because it is so, so important. Practicing God's presence is practicing the presence of love. And love's behaviors, as we've had five of them described here, there's more to come. Love's behaviors, when put into practice with childlike receptivity, teach me, O Lord, teach me. With that kind of receptivity to the Holy Spirit, they replace the presence and the practice of past immaturity. The past immaturity of our inner child. The question that Jesus asked the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, it bears repeating again and again and again in our lives, and that is, do you want to get well? Oh, that's another one. We need to remember that every single day. When we have problems and we're struggling with something, is to hear Jesus say, do you want to get well? Then open to me and adopt my way of living. Follow me. Follow me. Because of love's presence within us, transformation is guaranteed if we want to get well. If we really want to get well, if we're not satisfied with this inner child's way of behavior and we want to get well, the transformation is guaranteed. So let's say yes to Jesus' question. Do you want to get well? Yes, Jesus, I do. And then we can be healed from all childish ways by embracing childlike receptivity to love. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this wonderful love chapter. It teaches us so much. And I have learned so much just in studying the words themselves and seeing what they do and studying other people's viewpoints also about what is being said here. Oh God, we need love in our lives to be manifested. You've already put yourself within us. We don't have to ask you, abide in me, Lord. You're already abiding in us. We need to abide in you. We need to abide in love. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.